Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We're continuing in the Gospel of Luke today in Luke chapter 3, and Joanne's going to come and share with us in just a moment. But before she does, wanted to let you know about where we're headed in the next couple of weeks, and we're headed into a couple of weeks focusing on global work. So Living Waters has a number of organizations and people, families around the world that we support when it comes to global work, all around the planet. Really, really great work that's going on. And so over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear about some of that work. And you're also going to hear from some guest speakers, from some voices that you might not normally hear. And next week, which is February 24th, and the week after that, which is March 3rd, we have two different guest speakers who are going to be here. Next week, you're not going to want to miss, because we're welcoming Karen Reed. And Karen lives in Vancouver. She runs a place called Parker House. And Karen practices what's described as radical hospitality. And she's had a significant influence, I know, on my life. And she's also had a significant influence on some of the thinking and feeling, probably more importantly, the mind and the heart behind some of the things around Living Waters over the past 5 or so years. And so Karen's going to come and share her story. And I think you're going to be inspired by what she has to say. And she's going to speak about what it means to be a neighbor and how that connects to us locally and also globally. That next week on March 3rd, we're going to be welcoming Brett Donald. And Brett is the lead pastor at City Lights Church in Burnaby. And City Lights was a church that was planted by Living Waters about 7 years ago. And so Brett's going to come share and talk about what their experience has been like, what their experience of being a neighbor has been like, and what that means locally and globally. So you're not going to want to miss the next couple of weeks. We think you're going to be encouraged and inspired. That's next week with Karen and the week after that with Brett. We're really, really looking forward to it. But today, we're going to listen to Joanne, who's going to come on now and share. Joanne, a.k.a. Mrs. Knight, a.k.a. Reverend Joanne, a.k.a. Mother. There you go. Welcome.
Took him long enough, hey? Well, good afternoon. I had to check the clock because, you know, I've been saying good morning all morning, but it's actually afternoon. So really pleased to be with you this afternoon and have the opportunity to share what God has laid on my heart. So as Luke said, we're continuing our sermon series in Luke, A Gospel of Light. But first, I just want to recap quickly over last week. So in chapter 3, we were introduced to the adult John the Baptist in rather a dramatic way. He's a voice in the wild, this crazy prophet living out in the wilderness. And he's telling people like it is. And he's calling them to repentance through baptism. But John's message was just the beginning, because a genuine liberator was about to come on the scene. And that's where we're going to pick up in just a few minutes. But first, I'd like to share with you what happened to me this week, if that's okay with you guys. On Wednesday, I headed over to Bowen Island for a silent retreat. And I know that some of you are going to look at me and go, Joanne Knight, silent retreat? Yeah, right. There's no way she's going to be able to be quiet for a couple of days. Yeah, well, I was. Just saying. Anyway, I obviously took the sermon over with me because I wanted to work a little bit more on it, and I really wanted to prepare my heart for today, and I wanted to hear from the Lord. I felt that it was really important. So when I got up on Thursday morning, which was the day I was planning to look at this message a little bit further, in my quiet time, I just basically was talking to God about what was going on and how I needed to hear from him. And so, if it's okay with you, I would like to share from my journal. Is that okay? Did you not know this is, you know, this participation here? Okay. And so I tend to journal my prayers, because if I just kind of pray in my head, I start going down rabbit trails and my mind goes all over the place. So I've learned that actually journaling them is a good thing for me to do. So I'm going to read from my journal. Bottom line, though, Lord, is that I need you. I need your Holy Spirit to fill me afresh today, to remind me that I am your dearly loved daughter, and I bring you great joy. I don't have to earn it, just by simply being, I am loved. Thank you. How difficult it is for us to understand. We so feel the need to deserve it, but we don't. You just love us, messy and screwed up as we are. I want to rest in your love today. Rest in your acceptance of me, in your joy over me. I want to climb up into your lap and be held by you. I see you in a big rocking chair, oversized, so that adults look like children as they approach it. And as I come toward you, you stretch out your arms to pick me up, and you put me on your lap. I'm three again. My head rests against your chest, and I feel safe, safer than I have ever felt. Your arms envelop me, and I am dearly loved by you. And as I look up into your face, you are smiling down at me, and I see joy. I see pleasure. I see a daddy holding his little girl with great love and joy in his heart. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for feeling great joy when you see me and think of me. It's so hard when our earthly father has left us and abandoned us. It breaks such trust in us and makes us cautious and afraid to trust. Even though we know you won't leave us, even though we can see that you've always been there, there remains this tiny sliver of doubt. What if? Please remove that sliver of doubt from me today. I want to be able to trust 100% in your love for me. I don't want there to be any question in my mind that you love me. Full stop. Can we just pray? Heavenly Father, I ask that this morning as we delve into your word, that each of us would come to the place of knowing that we are your dearly loved children. Full stop. Father, open our hearts today to receive what it is that you have for us. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So the title of today's sermon, no surprise, is Dearly Loved. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles or follow along on the screen behind me. Our passage today is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 21 to 38. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son and you bring me great joy." Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. Now, Luke here goes into a long list, and it's about 14 verses long. So what I've done is I've taken the liberty of just editing it a little bit and popping in the names of people that you might recognize. I haven't added anybody. They're in there. I just kind of didn't put everybody in there because we'd be here all day, and I know that you probably want to get lunch at some point. So, Jesus was known as the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Heli. Heli was the son of Mathat. David was the son of Jesse. Obed was the son of Boaz. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Shem was the son of Noah. Enosh was the son of Seth. Seth was the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of God. Luke begins then, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. So I want you to imagine for a moment the scene. There is John, this wild man, in the Jordan River, baptizing people. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. Okay, why was Jesus coming to be baptized? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He was calling the people of Israel back to God, but Jesus is God, and he hadn't sinned. Technically, he didn't need to get baptized. In Matthew's account of this, we actually read of John trying to talk Jesus out of it. He says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? But he did. Why? As we heard last week, baptism is a symbol of deliverance, of being brought out into freedom. So where do we see deliverance by the passing through of water elsewhere in Scripture? We see it in the Exodus, don't we? When the Israelites escaped slavery, they passed through the Red Sea. And this passing through the waters gave them their freedom from the Egyptians and from a life of slavery. So why is this so important? And what does it have to do with Jesus? Well, I think that we often forget that Israel was chosen to be a light to the nations. Their purpose was to show the rest of the world who Yahweh, the one true God, is. And so his rescuing Israel was a foreshadowing of his plan to rescue and redeem all humankind through the death and resurrection of Jesus. So Israel being freed from slavery is a picture of humanity being freed from slavery, from the slavery of sin and death. We often have to look back to the Old Testament in order to make sense of the new. So Jesus came to show us the Father. He came to show us what God is like so that we could understand it. So when we see Jesus, we see God the Father. He also came to show us how to live, how to do this life, and how to do it well. And finally, he came to rescue us from the slavery of sin and death and to bring us life, the new Exodus, as it were. And we declared that this morning when we sang, I cast my mind to Calvary where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. The third verse. Then on the third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. O trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Jesus' baptism then is a demonstration of God's ultimate deliverance. As we heard last week, Jesus didn't isolate himself from suffering and death. He was baptized, submerged into it all, and he came out on the other side. Going back to Matthew's account, we read Jesus' response to John's question, why are you coming to me? Jesus says, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. You see, Jesus was walking in obedience here. He was being an example for us to follow. The way he lived his life is the way that we can live our life today. Luke continues, as he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. I want us to pay attention here, because Luke notes that it's while Jesus was praying that this crucial revelation happens. He's communing with the Father. This physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not only a sign to those who were there that Jesus is God's chosen one, the long-awaited Messiah, but it's also a sign for Luke's original audience and for us as well today. In addition, we're seeing that Jesus is setting us, his followers, an example. We need to remember that it's from this point that Jesus goes into the desert and he's tempted by Satan. And then from there, he goes into a life of ministry. And Jesus did this by living in dependence on the Holy Spirit. If you and I are going to walk out all that God has planned for us, if we're going to be the followers that Jesus wants us to be and has called us to be, we also need to live in dependence on the Holy Spirit. Then comes the Father's affirmation. I love this bit, my favorite bit. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. What a beautiful moment this is. The Father affirming his son, first with the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and then with these audible words. There are three questions that we all have as human beings. Am I loved? Do I belong? And do I matter? These words that God the Father speaks over Jesus affirms all three. Yes, he is loved. Yes, he belongs. God calls him his son. And yes, he matters. He brings the Father great joy. The relationship between God the Father and his son Jesus is intimate. They live in complete unity. And we can have that same intimate relationship with God today through Jesus. Jesus brings us into right relationship with the Father through his death on the cross and his resurrection. So when God looks at you or at me, he says, "This is my dearly loved daughter. This is my dearly loved son. And you bring me great joy." Every fall, we get to teach the Zoe Identity course here. And many women come not really knowing who they are, whose they are, and what their purpose is. They're basically coming with these same questions. Am I loved? Do I belong? And do I matter? They might ask them in a little bit of a different way, but that's essentially what it all boils down to. And throughout the course, I get to watch as women begin to see who they truly are and who God has created them to be. I see them come alive as they discover their strengths and their spiritual gifts and how God has always been watching over them. We have them do a timeline where they look over their whole life and they pinpoint the ups and the downs and where God was in those moments. It's beautiful. And we watch as they become affirmed in the love that God has for them, that he has a place for them and a purpose. And this is the greatest news that any of us can ever receive, that the creator of the universe sees me. The creator of the universe sees me. I am his child. He dearly loves me, and he brings me great joy. I want us to notice here that Jesus is dearly loved, and he brings God great joy before he does a single thing in ministry. At this point, Jesus has not healed anyone. He's not raised anybody from the dead. He's not cast out any demons, and he hasn't fed the 5,000. God is not looking for us to do anything to win his love, approval, or pleasure. We do not have to earn his love and acceptance. We do not have to earn his forgiveness. We do not have to earn his joy over us. I'm going to say that again because we need to hear it this morning. We do not have to earn his love. We do not have to earn his forgiveness. We do not have to earn his joy over us. At this point, Luke comes to a bit of an abrupt end, and he makes a brief note of Jesus's age. He says, Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. And then he turns his attention to Jesus' ancestors. And as we see, Jesus was known as the son of Joseph, Joseph the son of Heli, Heli the son of Mathat, David the son of Jesse, etc., 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 till we get to Seth was the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of God. Now Luke, unlike Matthew in his gospel, traces Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Adam. He doesn't stop at Abraham. And there's a couple of reasons for this. Remember that Luke is writing primarily for everyone. He wants to affirm us that Jesus didn't just come as the Messiah for the Jewish people. He came as the Savior of the world for all humankind. We all come from Adam, who was created by God. And since Adam and Eve first sinned, God has been pursuing us, trying to get our attention to turn our hearts back towards Him. God loves all people, and He wants everyone to be saved, everyone to be in right relationship with Him. And we know this because Scripture tells us. What is the most famous Scripture verse in the Bible? Come on, people. Thank you. John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. So who is the world? And what does that term mean? Well, simply put, it means all people, everyone, all over the planet. But I want us to pause here for a moment to fully comprehend what Luke is really trying to get across when he writes all people, because it's very easy for us to have blind spots. All people. Think about that for a moment. We've heard this term before in Luke's account of the angel's message to the shepherds in Luke 2, verse 10. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Luke tells us over and over again throughout his gospel that Jesus came for all people, not just the Jewish people, not just for those who have been good, not just our neighbors and friends, our co-workers or family members, all people, the good, the bad, the ugly. That means the guy who cut you off this morning on the way to church. The person in the office who gossips about you. The one who's deeply hurt you. Those who are different from us. Those who live in different countries. Those who believe in other gods. The thief, the addict, the prostitute, the murderers. You get the picture. Jesus came for everyone. As you heard earlier from Cheryl, over the past few months, we've been going into a local women's prison running the Alpha program. And as she said, last Saturday, we went and had the Holy Spirit Day. And at the end of that day, we invite the guests to come and receive prayer if they'd like to accept or receive the Holy Spirit. And so I had the pleasure of praying for one of our guests, who is a young woman, a young mother, who because of her choices has lost everything. She's lost her children. She's lost her freedom. She's lost her dignity. She's lost her value. And I would even go as far to say that she's despised by many people because of her actions. As I prayed for her, I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit to let her know that she was forgiven, that because of her faith in Jesus, her sins had been removed from her, that they had in fact been so far removed that they were in the sea of forgetfulness. And as I began to speak this over her, the tears began to fall. I carried on a little bit more in praying, and then the Holy Spirit kind of nudged me again and said, okay, it's time to say something else. Now, bear in mind that I'd been in this passage of Scripture for a couple of weeks by then, and I just really felt compelled to let her know this. So I said, can I take your hands, and I want you to look in my eyes. So that's what we did. I took her by the hands, and she looked in my eyes, and I said, you are God's dearly loved daughter, and you bring Him great joy. I want you to imagine what that is like for a woman like her. You are my dearly loved daughter, and you bring me great joy. Well, those tears turned from, from tears of repentance to tears of joy. And then a smile came on her face. And then that smile actually turned into laughter. Her entire countenance changed. Remember those three questions that we all have? Am I loved? Do I belong? Do I matter? This young woman had those questions deep in her heart. And last Saturday, they were answered. You are my dearly loved daughter, and you bring me great joy. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And as they come, I want to ask you, have those questions been answered for you? Do you know that you are loved? Do you know that you belong? Do you know that you matter? I'm here to tell you today, just as I told that young mother in the prison, you are loved, you do belong, and you do matter. As we sing this song, Who You Say I Am, let the words remind you of who you are, because we are all children of God. Would you please stand as we close?
We have a moment or two before we need to close today, and I think it's appropriate for us to open our hearts to hear God's affirmation, to receive that, maybe for the first time, and maybe for the 100th time. So if you want to open yourself up to God to receive healing, to receive forgiveness, to receive the truth about who He is and who about you are, I'm going to invite you to do that. And if you'd like to take a physical posture, you can join me by opening a hand or both your hands. That's what I'm going to do. Gracious Lord, thank you for your good, loving character, your faithfulness and kindness towards the whole world, which, hearing the words and singing these songs, we have to say, includes us. So in this moment, Jesus, we don't count ourselves out from the world. We understand we're a part of it. And we understand that you look at us because of Jesus and his death and life and resurrection. And we can stand where Jesus stands and receive your love. So we welcome you, God. Would you fill our hearts with your love? Would you fill us with your grace? Would you heal us? If these words of love and kindness and grace, these truths of forgiveness and love have become stale to us, God, would you make them fresh again? And if it's the first time that we're doing this, God, really opening ourselves up to you, Lord, we say that we trust you. We trust you. Would you fill us with your life and with your love? Thank you, God. We welcome you into the rest of this week as well. Let us conclude with Psalm 139 that says this, O Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel. And when I rest at home, you know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Lord, would you bless us as we go into this week? Help us to continually discover you, discover your spirit wherever we go, knowing that you're with us. In Jesus' name, we all said, Amen. Bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and happy late Valentine's Day to you as well.